Welcome to Vital Signs. I'm Jen Godet, your fearless host, and we're here because I believe that when we bring people to talk about what's leading edge in healthcare, performance, medicine, and otherwise, we're all able to up-level our health, which is, after all, our greatest asset. Today, you're going to want to sit up and take note, because if you wake up tired, push through your day on caffeine, collapse at night, and still feel like you're running on empty, this is not a motivation problem. It is a systems problem. And today, we're going to unpack why fatigue is one of the most misunderstood signals that your body sends. I'm really excited because we have a very special guest here today to dive into that. We're going to talk about that exhaustion, the kind that's stealing your clarity, your patience, and your ambition, even your joy. I've got Dr. Michael Schwartz, naturopathic physician who specializes in helping people to decode systems instead of masking them. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Jen. It's a pleasure to be here, and I love your enthusiasm. I think it's contagious.
Oh, good. I think we're going to have a great conversation, because let's just dive in.
Okay.
Fatigue is not just being tired, folks. I want to ask, why is fatigue one of the most dismissed, really, and misunderstood but most powerful warning signs in modern healthcare?
Well, one of the reasons what creates fatigue more than anything else is stress, because stress compromises the adrenal system. And when your adrenal system is taxed, your blood pressure goes up, your immune system goes down, and the ability to regulate sugar, which is the source of fuel for the body, is not regulated, in the sense that when you're under stress and the adrenal gland is exhausted, because what it does is it talks to the pancreas. And when you're tired, you keep snacking to get that energy levels up. Well, between the communication between the adrenal gland and the pancreas, it ultimately becomes tired. It secreted too much insulin, and now the person is going down below the threshold. So this is when your adrenal gland is supposed to talk to your liver to tell the liver to release glycogen so you have fuel for the cells. The catch-22 is your adrenal gland, from talking to the pancreas all day long, dealing with the stress,
developed laryngitis.
Oh.
Cannot talk to the liver. And because it can't talk to the liver, your sugar level keeps going down and down and down. So that's one aspect of it. The other is, oftentimes when I hear fatigue, I kind of feel for the client that conceivably there's a lack of inspiration, because inspiration and motivation energize us, and it makes us want to rock and roll and get accomplished whatever it is we have our sights set on.
So I thought that was a fabulous analogy there. And so let me talk about this, because we have a lot of stay-at-home moms, single moms who are also working. We have a lot of people who are maybe working multiple jobs. There's a lot going on emotionally, physically, all the things. And so we think stress is normal. And you said, wait a minute, stress can cause challenge. So if we're feeling fatigued, what is the difference between, when does it stop being normal fatigue? Because if we've had a really long day, we've worked out, it's the end of the day, fatigue is normal, we want to go to bed, right?
What's the difference
between it being normal and fatigue being a red flag that we need to say, hey, something's not right?
Well, if I hear that, you know, I slept 8, 10, 12 hours last night, I got up, I'm still tired. Okay, so that's a sign of hypoglycemia, low blood sugar. That is the ultimate fatigue. And that affects, I would say, 80% of the people, because they're truly malnourished. Nourishment, look, you need nourishment. Your body runs on enzymes and proteins, and enzymes are created out of the B vitamins. And specifically for the adrenal glands, vitamin C and pantothenic acid, vitamin B5, are essential for the functionality of the adrenal. And pantothenic acid becomes coenzyme A, which stimulates the Krebs cycle, which is energy production. So there's that. And I want to jump to stress for a minute, because stress is the result of what you see and hear and how you respond to it. And so one of the keys that I help with my clients is to help them try to identify the things that stress them out. That way you can begin to get a handle on it, and it slows down the taxation on the adrenals, because now, just because hubby didn't put the cap on the toothpaste, there's no reason to get stressed out because he's not going by the rules. Or, you know, your wife doesn't hang. I guess that women don't wear nylons anymore.
But that's not true. They've come back.
Oh, cool. Okay, good. So then this analogy will work. So instead, you know, the guy walks into the bathroom and there's a nylons hanging over the shower curtain, and you know, he gets stressed. So there are so many multiple different levels of stress, and some little things that you wouldn't pay attention to can trigger a stress result. It's all based on what you have in your subconscious mind as how you think things should be.
So we talk a lot about stress on, well, we talk about nutrition and fueling your output and fueling your body, and we talk about stress a lot. I'm going to ask you, because you've just linked stress to fatigue and some of these other processes, what are the hidden energy thieves that people don't see coming? Like, how can somebody start to identify what's actually stealing their energy and what's actually causing stress? Because I'm already hearing this. I'm already hearing what people are going to say. They're going to say, but Jen, I'm stressed out all day long. I'm not sure what is the trigger. So how do they start to identify those triggers, those energy zappers in their life?
That's really a great question. And I think what we're not accustomed to doing is pausing even for a nanosecond to question what's going on. You know, because sometimes you can feel it come on. It's like you're driving and you'll drive and all of a sudden you'll start sneezing. And I know I just drove through something I couldn't see, but it affected my body. And that's how life works. You don't, everything you see and hear is maybe 30-40% of what you really see and hear. So you need to become conscious. I call it symbol reading, being conscious of what triggers your stress. Once you get a hold of that, that's one issue. The other is not, it's the snacking. When you do things, you bring sugar in for the energy. Well, actually, it's depleting your energy because it's a false high. Yeah, I'm all revved up on sugar and and then you need more sugar. So yeah, you know, it's really a vicious cycle. And by changing your diet into something more living foods, organically grown living foods with no sugars, you know, you could use stevia, you could do xylitol, you could do barley. These things will give you sugar that's legitimate for your body, because white sugar is an empty substance, and like most white drugs, detrimental to your well-being.
So let me ask you a question, because I know this is going to come up. Well, you didn't mention honey. What about honey? Honey's natural.
Yes, it is. I love honey. And in fact, honey for tea is a great sweetener. And actually, another purpose for honey, you can get rid of cataracts. You can also close up ulcers with honey.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Absolutely. You know, for diabetic ulcers, there's nothing better than either honey. And remember, you know, some of you kids could be my age. Remember your grandparents, you get a cut or a bruise or a scrape, they say, you know, put some honey on it because it speeds up the healing. You're feeding the cells topically. That's why it closes up those diabetic ulcers and bed sores.
That's amazing. So let me ask you the next question that I know is coming. Okay, Doc, well, you said don't do the white sugar.
Oh, right. Yeah.
What terrible. About caffeine? Because when I get tired, I just drink another cup of coffee, but I don't add sugar to it. So I'm good, right?
No. But it was good to try to slide that by. Yeah, no, the caffeine, it's an up. It's an artificial up also. And that, you know, again, we're up. Your adrenal gland has to say, hey, you know, it stimulates your nervous system, which is really even worse, because now you're, you know, kind of like that. And you're out of control. Caffeine brings you out of control. It's really that simple.
So folks, for the people in the back, I just want to summarize this. If you're fatigued, if you're sleeping at night and you know you're getting the right amount of sleep and you're just so dead tired at the end of the day, you can't get up, this is a clue, a red flag that maybe we're not fueling our body properly. We need to maybe manage our stress a little bit. And if you're masking it with caffeine and sugar and constant snacking, that's not going to solve the problem. What will solve the problem is reaching out to somebody such as Dr. Schwartz over here and find out what can be done. So I'm going to ask one more question, and we're getting kind of towards the end of our segment. I'm going to need a break in a moment. But how much of physical exhaustion is actually biochemical versus how much is emotional and stress? Like, is there a sort of a barometer?
That's a great question. And I never thought about it from that particular point of view. And I'm an 80-20 person. 80% good, 20% not good, in the sense that your diet should be 80%, ideally 80% raw, 15% cooked, 5% junk. And I've had people say, why the junk? Well, if you're trying to get your significant other into healthy diet and the kids, and you don't allow them that 5% they're going to take anyway, if you don't allow that, then that energy of denial will work against them and all the good will go to waste. Another thing I wanted to bring up in terms of relationships, if you're one of those people that's stressed out and you sleep 8-10 hours and you get up and you're still tired, well, I also be willing to bet you have a tendency to be sensitive, maybe a little bit angry, maybe, or hangry, as the expression goes. In which case, if you improve yourself in terms of changing your diet and stop loading up with sugar, whoever your significant other is and the children, they'll love you, because now you'll wake up like a human being and not an, you know, kind of a person in the morning.
Absolutely. So take it from this conversation. If you're exhausted, don't assume you're lazy. Don't assume right. you're aging. Don't assume this is just how life is and I've just got to deal with it. Think about, how are you fueling your body? Do you have the essential nutrition that you need? Are you getting enough sleep, and are you managing your stress, which could be emotional as well as between your ears, as well as physical. So yep. fatigue's not a weakness, folks. It's a signal. And the sooner that you listen, the faster you reclaim your energy, your clarity, and joy. We do have to take a brief break, but we'll be right back to dive deeper after these important messages. Welcome back to Vital Signs. Loving what you're watching? Go ahead and download the Now Media TV app on iOS or Roku, or if you prefer to catch it on the go in podcast format, go to www.nowmedia.tv and catch up with your favorite podcast version of this show and more anytime, anywhere, ready when you are. But next, what if your migraines, your gut issues, your muscle tension, or recurring illnesses aren't random? What if your body is not just malfunctioning, it's just communicating with you? We were talking a lot about fatigue and energy in the previous segment, but I want to dive into the fact that most people treat the mind and body like they're two separate departments. What if that separation is exactly why healing feels incomplete? I've got Dr. Schwartz here to demystify this and connect the dots. Doc, I want to talk all about emotions in the body. So how do emotions physically manifest in the body?
Well, if you take into consideration, and people don't, that the mind, which is where your emotions are encased, operates the brain. The brain in turn operates the body. So emotion, and your brain is trained to carry out the directives of your mind, okay? Now you have needs and you have patterns of behavior, and they're all built out of the concepts of who you think you should be. And some people are fatigued all the time, or they get headaches all the time, and it's in cycles, because everything in the universe flows in cycles. So you may find that, you know, I had a client that she said every Thanksgiving she catches a cold and it lasts through January. and it's like every year. So life is built on cycles. And so when your mind needs to wake you up and have you pay attention to a disharmony within, it will create a physical thing. Mm-hmm. Think about your body as being an orchestra and your mind being the conductor. Now you wanna have a wonderful harmony coming out of you, beautiful sounds, right? Like an opera or a classical piece of music. Well, whenever there's an imbalance, one of the instruments is out of a tune. It could be a gland, an organ, a system, but there's something that is out of tune. And it's your responsibility to think about what it is and to feed your body what it requires. Your body is a divine creation. And if you give it what it needs in meaningful amounts, not these, you know, low potency products, give it what it needs, your body will come to balance and harmony. Look at your mind as a biocomputer. It seeks balance and harmony. Your body is the hardware, your concepts are the software. And you know the expression about computers, garbage in, garbage out. Clean up the diet. It'll make you 100% better.
So I'm going to ask this question because I totally resonate with what you're saying. And folks, I'm going to give you another analogy just because it's real for all of us. You know, you have that meeting that you're dreading, and you wake up that morning and all of a sudden you have a stuffy nose and a headache. That's because of that emotional dread causing your body to slow down because you just really don't want to go. So our body is amazing. It's saying, okay, well, if I'm sick, I can't go to work.
Absolutely.
So when we have those things happen, you know, sometimes it's always linked, but you know, sometimes it's not necessarily a physical cause. So talk to me about if we have emotional stuff going on for a very, very long time, like trauma, PTSD, something like that, can that physiologically alter our body in the long term?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because what happens is kind of like the body begins to break down and it begins to form the habits and the patterns based on whatever the trauma is. And in terms of, you know, the analogy you used was wonderful, because when I think of somebody having bronchitis or stuffed sinus issues, stuffed nose, to me, that's always a lack of faith in self. And so the analogy you used was absolutely perfect. And yes, you can overcome everything provided you're willing to look within and question. All of the answers, you know, I tell people about my products. I say, look, the sicker person is, the better I look, because most illnesses are a lack of nutrition. Again, if you don't bring in what you need in meaningful amounts and you're eating the Great American Diet, which is corrupting the cells anyway by the toxins, you're malnourished and your body is out of alignment. So the goal with naturopathy, at least the way that I look at it, because it means following the path of nature. So the way that I see it is, if you nourish your body, you bring back alignment, you wake up, you feel better. Because, and consider this, there is a fundamental universal teaching, and that is thought precedes creation. Goes back to John, right? In the beginning was the Word. The Word is with God. Well, that's the kingdom within. So you need to draw on that in order to rebuild self.
Okay. So let's go dive a little bit deeper, because I know that people are like, okay, great, I understand this. I feel I have a headache, or I feel stuffy, or I don't feel great when I have a meeting that I'm dreading. That could be coming from the emotions and manifest physically. So talk to me about where the disconnect happened in medicine, because in medicine and in traditional healthcare specifically, I come from that background. You know, treating mental and physical health is always a separate occurrence. It's one of the biggest blind spots in modern medicine, honestly, in modern healthcare. So how do we stop separating them? And talk to me about what happens when we only treat the symptoms that are the physical manifestation of maybe the mental side of things.
Well, there's no cure. I don't know a nice way to say this, but I think you become a paycheck for the physicians, because there's no cure and it's not in their best interest to cure you. So our whole system is malnourished in terms of knowledge and truth. Consciousness needs to be taught, emotional consciousness needs to be taught in medical school, so that there is a unity between what's natural and true and healthy. Chemicals, medicines simply block, as you said earlier, block the symptoms in the hope that maybe the body will heal itself. Well, it won't if the doctor doesn't tell you, change your diet, re-examine what you're doing, re-examine what you're reading, what you're watching, what you're listening to, because all of that can have an emotional effect on the body, which in turn, remember, we're back to mind operates brain, brain carries out who you think you're supposed to be. So don't work against yourself. See about elevating your awareness and pay attention to what you're eating. And there's the downside, because people can rationalize and justify and find a logical reason. I gotta go to Mick whatever, and I gotta eat the fast food. I only have an hour for lunch. Pack a lunch.
Go,
you know? There's so many alternatives. You have to take active participation, not passive acceptance.
Okay, and so this is about preparation. So if we know that we're gonna only have a limited lunch, then we have a little bit of meal prep at the beginning of the week. We put it together, we bring it with us, and we have something. So that's an easy action step, folks. You know I like action steps. I love to have something that we can all do. But I wanna ask now, because you've mentioned some of the symptoms that show up, like sinus and whatnot, being doubt or lack of faith in self, et cetera. How can someone who's watching explore like the feelings or explore what might be underlying without blaming themselves or shaming themselves, because we have a tremendous amount of guilt and we have a lot of negative self-talk, and societally we've been ingrained in that. So how do we shift that and explore this in a curious way without the guilt or the I caused this because, like the you caused this?
Yeah, you know, the real cause is a lack of understanding. Okay, so that's the fundamental thing. And again, it's built on a concept you maintain in the subconscious mind. So a way around that is that to understand that when there is a physical disharmony in your body, it is your mind's way of communicating with you. It's not something you did intentionally. It was just saying, your mind is saying to you, look, I've been talking to you 24/7. You don't have eyes to see or ears to hear, so you have no idea what I've been telling you. And worse than that, you've been told not to look at your dreams. And yet you go back into the Bible, a lot of things happen because of dreams. And so the dreaming mechanism is rusty. You need to work on that. Then to understand what's going on physically, think of this in the way that really is. We are energetic beings. We are spiritual beings in a material body, okay? So every part of your body has a function. And you should sit down with pencil and paper and say, okay, what does my brain do? What does my mind do? What do my ears do? What does my hands do? What are my legs? All of them are a energetic representation of thought in action. A prime example might be arthritis. And I've had clients that come, oh man, I wake up, my hands are stiff as could be, and I can't do anything, right? I say, okay, so who in your family has arthritis? Well, my mom, my grandmother. So what arthritis represents is handling, inflexible thinking in terms of handling. So if you go through your body and really ponder it and think on it, question, what does it do? How does it function? Take notes. And then look at that and say, how is that relative to what I'm going through in the here and now? Okay? And plus, all diseases begin with one corrupted cell way back when. You don't know you have an problem till you have inflammation. And inflammation may be when 10 billion cells are corrupted. And somebody said to me, why 10 billion? And I said, it's a made up number because you have 50 trillion cells. So I figured, you know, at least a billion, they're going to feel something.
Yep.
So, you know, there's that way. But think about your body individually. What does it do? How does it function? What am I going through now that part of me would be affected?
And that, folks, is a masterclass in how to start asking yourself to move forward and to really get back in touch with your body. Thank you so much for sharing your insights. How can people reach out to you if they'd like to learn more?
Well, actually, I have courses and stuff coming up, but you can always reach me through my email, drmichaels1@outlook.com. So if you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out. I generally don't charge unless we really want to get deep into something. And I do look at things from a holistic perspective. And what I mean by that is to look at the emotional container, and I won't deal with straight nutrition. It's got to be a combination of both, because the goal is to truly get you well. I don't need a clientele. I don't need people to follow. My goal is to get you on your own path towards wellness, higher consciousness, more awareness, and so that you don't become codependent on anybody but self and the energy within you, the divine source.
Thank you so much for being here and sharing your insights today. Your body is not your energy, your enemy, folks. It's your ally. And when you stop fighting it, healing can begin. We're so excited to have this today. We do have to take a brief break, but we will be right back after these important messages. Welcome back to Vital Signs. If you're a woman in your 40s or 50s and you feel like your body is betraying you, but your labs are normal, you are not crazy. You might be perimenopausal and the health system still catching up. Today, we're going to call BS on some of the outdated standards and finally have the conversation that women deserve. Because when it comes to women's health, innovation exists, but you have to know how to find it. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Megan Parks, an integrative medical expert pushing past the Band-Aid approach to get to the root cause of hormonal health issues. Her work is focused on evidence-based innovation, real-world restoration, and empowering women to stop settling for tired or misinformed care. Dr. Parks, welcome to Vital Signs.
Thank you, Jen.
I'm really excited to have this conversation with you because it's really top of mind for me. I happen to be in that age group. So let me ask you first, what are you most excited about when it comes to real innovation? I'm not talking about hype and the stuff we see scrolling on social media, but real innovation in perimenopausal and menopausal care.
I think two things that instantly come to my mind are empowerment, because for once they're actually looking at us. They're looking at females. They're not just lumping us all into everybody has the same hormones. And number two, I would say it's less outdated. Before, we were stuck at, here, take this blood, and it's just a single little picture, and everybody was on some same cookie cutter approach. And there are so many individual components to this.
Can you dive a little bit deeper into that advanced testing that we have today? I mean, there's Dutch testing and there's other things. Can you kind of demystify what that is for our viewers today?
Absolutely. So in the past, they were just doing blood. And blood has good things, but if it's not bound or if it's freely bound, that's going to give us a whole different results, I would say. Now, when we look at things like Dutch or Humap, they use urine. And the beauty of that is it can get a whole snapshot. It can look at 24 hours rather than just the moment you go to the lab and get your blood done. And because when we look at the hormones, what may be normal in the morning is not also normal in the afternoon. And so you really want to get a bigger picture to be able to figure out what's happening in that specific woman.
You know, that's so enlightening, and you're absolutely right. Like, it's nice to have that better viewpoint. So let me ask you, because there's a lot of things that we're being bombarded with. I'm in that age group, and anytime I go on any social media, or even when I go on like streaming channels, the commercials, I'm bombarded with ads, supplements, celebrity lines of supplementations, HRTs, et cetera, and all of these hormone influencers. And they're not all saying the same thing. So how does someone like myself or my viewer, how do we sort through what's real and what's disinformation or just a clever marketing message?
The unfortunate part is a lot of it is disinformation or a marketing, because they're basically taking the not having enough information or having the doctor basically dismiss them and tell them that they're feeling fine. And so they're trying to give them hope. They're saying, hey, take this pill, take these things, and you're magically going to get better. But the problem is it's not a 30-day and all of a sudden it fixes. Your hormones are going to go up and down. You have to get tests. You have to see what's going on with you. So the one-size-all approach, it does. It makes me cringe, because sometimes you can make that person worse.
Okay, so let's dive into that a little bit more, because, you know, this is it's a broader conversation on supplements when we take a supplement with not an out understanding if we even need a supplement. So talk to the women who are watching, or maybe even the men who have women in their lives who are in this stage of life. Like, what testing should we be thinking about doing before we just grab a supplement? How often should we be testing? Because that's the other thing I hear a lot is, oh, I was tested 2 years ago. I got put on this and they've never tested again. They just keep taking it. So what should we be knowledgeable about, especially in this perimenopausal point in life? How often should we test? How should we be approaching that supplementation if that's the route that we're going?
That's a great question. And I like supplement and support both begin with the same words, S-U-P-P. It's not meant to replace. Ideally, we need to be getting it from the foods and the activities that we are typically doing. That's ideal. But there are times when our body just can't support. And the truly see that is the labs, because if I took my labs took your labs and took 10 other people, we're all going to have different results because of how our body detoxifies. So a really popular one, especially when we talk perimenopause and just females in general, is going to be the supplement ashwagandha. And ashwagandha is great at calming and relaxing, but let's pretend that that person is under massive amounts of stress, because let's face it, today there is so much stress. So let's say they've had it for so long that their cortisol is just bottomed out. Well, now you give them ashwagandha because they think, hey, this is a helpful supplement, I should be taking it. And now their fatigue is so much more extreme, and they've done the reverse, or they've screwed up their endocrine system. When we talk the labs that you were saying, I do like a basic panel, but even going further, what's that person's thyroid and getting a full thyroid? I also like looking at the hormones and cortisol as well. And also if someone has any intolerance, because if they're eating something that quote unquote is good, but their body can't tolerate it, you're creating massive inflammation.
Oh yeah, that's a whole other can of worms topic to even discuss. So let me dive into this a little bit further, because you've mentioned some panels that sometimes at our Well Woman, when we ask the question, they just get a basic blood panel, but they're not going for the thyroid panel or the other things because we fall in normal zones. So how can the women watching advocate for themselves? Like, what are the things that we should be bringing to that appointment, so that when we're told, oh, you're just getting older, you're fine, it's normal, how can we push back in a respectful way to get those tests that we need when we are in front of our providers?
You hit a good point. When you track, you can't argue with tracking. It's real. If someone's even documenting their cycle, like, okay, I went from a normal 28 days, but now I'm going 53, or now I'm going every 17 days. That's not normal. Something's going on, and it's hard to argue when you have that kind of statistic. I heard one other provider, he once called it SHMEC. I thought it was a beautiful analogy. And SHMEC stands for, what is your sleep, your hunger, your mood, your energy, and your cravings doing? Because they should be pretty stable. And if it's one day up here and the next day it's down here, that's, again, hard to argue. And even though you may be in the correct range, you're not in an optimal.
That makes perfect sense. And what's optimal for me might be different than what's optimal for you. And it's all based off of tracking those things. So folks, if you're watching this, be tracking. What is your normal sleep cycle? What does your menstrual cycle look like? What do these things look like? What is your mood doing during the day, so that you have a consistent record? And when something is off, we can bring that to our practitioners. And that's information. Like, really what we're doing is we're providing information, and that's what not normal for us. And we have that. So really, what you're saying, advocacy isn't confrontation. It's just bringing the receipts and asking better questions.
100%.
So let me ask you, a lot of females that I've spoke with, worked with, I work with a lot of entrepreneurs, and we all talk about this offline. And it's sometimes we feel like we're dismissed, we're confused, we're not sure. Because there's so much out there. You said sleep, mood swings, energy, and some other things. Are there any other things that those of us who are kind of in this can do today that we can start moving forward so that we can get a handle on this phase of life?
One thing I like, and I'm in the perimenopause range as well, but even when someone's talking cycle, it's really truly understanding what your hormones are doing. And I feel like hormones have had a really bad rap. For example, like, I remember hearing estrogen and thinking, oh gosh, having too high estrogen and having that is a bad thing. But estrogen actually has beautiful things about it. It can help with our cortisol and our stress. It can help, especially it's higher in the first half of the cycle. So if you tap into that, so think, I want to do a HIIT workout and I want to push really hard. That's a great time to do it. You can hit them. You can you can really tap into what estrogen does. And in fact, estrogen even outperforms testosterone for women. And the fact that if you can get to breathless and burning in that first half, you're now breaking into HGH, which is your human growth cycle. And that's going to make us lean, cut, get all the results we want. But when you look at the second half of the cycle, estrogen and progesterone, it flip-flops. Progesterone's going to go up, but estrogen is going to go down. Now you really need to, especially when we're perimenopause, menopause, you need to be thinking of things such as relaxation. You need to be doing yoga. You need to do walks. So I would tell people when we're into that phase of life, swap out a HIIT workout for a nice walk, a gentle walk. You don't want to overstress your nervous system, because without having the estrogen, it can't buffer your stress.
Oh, that makes so much sense. So folks, if you're watching this at home, that was key information for those of us in the certain stage. It's understand where in the cycle you are, understand what hormones are dominant at that size, at that point in time, and exercise accordingly, because we want to make sure we're working with our body instead of fighting against our body. We do have to take a brief break, but we're going to dive deeper into cortisol because I know you have questions about it, and we have the expert to answer it after these important messages. Welcome back to Vital Signs. Loving what you're watching? Don't miss a moment of it. Download the app for Now Media TV on iOS and Roku so that you can catch all of your favorite Now Media shows when you want, where you want. Prefer the podcast version? Go to nowmedia.tv and you're able to access all of our shows there in podcast format anytime, anywhere. We're ready when you are. You've heard of adrenal fatigue. You've heard of cortisol poisoning. You've heard all of these terminologies, and we see things on social media that say we're wired and tired. There's a ton of talk about cortisol poisoning, but what is it really? Is it real? Is it a fact? How do we know what's fear and what's fixable? I'm really excited because today we're going to set the record straight on stress, cortisol, hormones, and the difference between burning out and bouncing back with Dr. Megan Parks. So let's dive into this cortisol poisoning trend. Is it real or is it just another fear-based buzzword?
Honestly, they need to stop calling it poisoning, because cortisol is needed. Cortisol is a hormone. And as you mentioned on stress, there's a purpose for cortisol. It's what I feel the buzz and why it gets, again, the negative, just kind of like estrogen did, is I'm going to call it dysregulation. What is your cortisol doing? So for example, you need cortisol to wake up in the morning. If your cortisol was too low, you're going to struggle to get out of bed. But now let's flip it. Let's say it's time for bed and that cortisol is crazy, crazy high. And it's not really relaxed. It's not really calm at that point. You are going to feel wired and tired.
And so what is this trend? Like, how did it become a poisoning conversation? I mean, is this a chronic stress situation? Talk to us a little bit about what's actually happening when we have that chronic stress and we're dysregulated. Like, what's actually happening and what can we do about it?
So what chronic stress does, stress is not like, again, you need it to run, you need it to get away from something. And that's a good thing. You want that surge of energy. You want that get up and go. However, when we are constantly bombarded by today's, whether it's technology, whether it's life, whether it's juggling 9,000 different things at once, your cortisol just remains high. And over time, what the body says is, we call it pregnenolone steel or progesterone steel. And it's basically saying, I'm going to stop creating the progesterone and I'm going to start creating more cortisol. And what happens over time, this can either flatline your cortisol or it's at such a high level that you're just having these heart palpitations. You're feeling like you are running and running from something and it's never stopping.
So when we're at that point, how do we recover from that? What can we do today that may be able to downregulate that?
There's some really great things from relaxation techniques, deep breathing. We call it box breathing, breathing in slow for a count, holding it, then breathing out slow and repeating it. That's going to help lower it. It's going to help calm you. As I mentioned before about the exercises, if you're doing HIIT workouts and your estrogen and progesterone aren't there to buffer that stress, you're going to rise it. And the unfortunate part, cortisol also plays in with insulin. And this is where people can get a lot of the belly fat. So by prioritizing yoga and walking rather than go, 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 keep working out more and eating less, that's going to be a recipe for disaster for these women, especially in this phase.
Yeah, because what's really happening between life and if we're overtraining like that and under fueling or not able to sleep properly, our body's crying out for restoration, not more hustle, and we're just piling on top. So let's dive into that as well, because you've talked to us about the exercise. Let's talk about the nutrition phase, because part of that is also we're under fueling, because if we're holding on to extra weight, we're not accustomed to that because we're high performers, 10 to 1. Most of us are high performers and we're not used to that. And all of a sudden we hit this phase of life and now we have a little belly fat or something else is happening and we can't get rid of it. So we stop eating and we're under fueling. We think about fasting. So can you talk to me a little bit about fasting at this phase of life? Do it, don't do it, what's safe, what's not? Like what should we be thinking about, or how should we change our thought process with regards to fueling at this point?
And that's a great question, because I feel like there's a divide. There's always some people say fasting's great. Some people say, don't do it. I'm going to look at it from the hormonal standpoint. And again, if we're doing it more in the first phase of our cycle where estrogen and progesterone are higher, we can handle the stress of what fasting is doing. However, if you're doing it in the second half and you are full of stress and that's lower, it's basically like you're just getting ran by, like nonstop, just someone's running after you and you can't stop. It's a go, go, go. And that actually can shut the system down and it can create more issues in creating progesterone. It can, so even for my younger women, the women who aren't in this phase yet, but yet you're looking to have a kid, well, guess what? You need progesterone to keep that pregnancy viable. And I do believe that that's the missing link on why the NIH says that every pregnancy, 15 to 20%, unfortunately, end in a miscarriage. We are just under so much stress. And then when we talk about nutrition, your body kind of tells you when you're bleeding, your iron's low, you feel more fatigued. So turning around and saying, well, sis, just keep pushing harder and eat less, that's completely opposite what we should be doing.
That makes perfect sense. So, you know, earlier we touched on supplements in the previous segment. And so you said better to get it from food. Let's talk about that. Like what should we be thinking about to optimize our hormones, like to support them so that they can do their thing and create and be more balanced during our cycle? Is there something from a whole food standpoint that we can share with the audience today that we should be thinking about?
That's great. Again, when you're first starting your cycle, as I mentioned, it makes sense. Iron's going to be low. You're bleeding. So supporting that with more iron-rich foods. If you do red meat, that's a great time for it. And when we're going towards that, getting ready to restart the cycle at the second half of our phase, This is when you want magnesium-rich foods. You want the calming effects. And this is why a lot of us women will crave chocolate, because guess what? It's high in magnesium. You know, if you ever start wondering why you're having certain cravings, it's because your body is trying to get you prepared for that phase.
I love it. You just gave me permission to eat chocolate.
Dark chocolate, Jen, dark chocolate.
Always. I don't like sweets, so the dark chocolate's all the way for me. So I love to leave our audience with an actionable takeaway today, and you've gave us a couple of them. One of them was to skip HIIT in favor of a walk or yoga at the second part of our cycle. What would be one thing that no matter where we are in our cycle, it would be a good thing for us to start doing today?
I have actually two that I really, really love, especially in these phases, but sleep is so underutilized. Trying to get to sleep before 10 o'clock, trying to get outside in the morning, getting that natural sunlight, it resets your natural circadian rhythm so that you can sleep when you're supposed to and you can wake up when you're supposed to. My other thing that, I mean, it's a buzzword too, but protein. Protein is essential more now than ever, because here's the thing, estrogen does help break down and use that protein for our bodies. And if you're not getting enough because you're not breaking it down, you're setting yourself up for a lot of issues, not to mention osteoporosis and all of that. But you need protein to, one, it's going to help you feel full, but two, it's going to repair. And it's also going to prevent, especially in that bad advice of work out more, eat less, your body's going to steal the protein from your muscles and your structure. So if you're truly looking at keeping a more lean form, protein's going to be your friend.
I agree more. So folks, you heard it from the expert. You don't need more willpower. You need more recovery. Get your sleep in, get to bed. First thing in the morning, get outside, get some natural sunlight, and let's add some protein to our diet so that our bodies have the building blocks they need and aren't stealing them for the muscles that we're trying to strengthen and keep strong as we age. Thank you so much for your expertise. How can people reach out to you today?
That's great. You can call me at 419-785-4215. You can go to our website at integratedmedicalgrp.com. And you can even email me at drdr.megan@integratedmedicalgrp.com.
Thank you so much for your expertise today. It's been such a welcome breath of fresh air to actually know what we can be doing so that we can set ourselves for success. Thanks.
Thank you.
And you, yes, you, unfortunately, all good things do come to an end, including this show. But the good news is we will be here same time, same station next week. So until then, get your Z's in, go to bed before 10 o'clock so you can get that rest and recovery that your body is crying for. Get up in the morning, get some natural sunlight. Should be really easy, especially if you're here in the Houston area. And make sure that you are set for success and regulating your hormones so that you can optimize your health, which is, after all, your greatest asset. We'll see you same time, same station next week. Until then, have a great rest of your day.